This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:19 Monday, the 20th of June, and of course you're listening to a fitter morning run with Shazan Mokhtar, and I'm Wong Xiaoning. Now, and we are looking at Malaysia's refugee policy, or lack thereof.
Now, today is World Refugee Day, a reminder for us to shine a light on the rights, needs and dreams of refugees who often have no voice, as well as help to mobilise political will and resources so refugees can not only survive, but also thrive. Now, according to the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Malaysia has more than 182,000 refugees and asylum seekers as of April 2022. 25% of that figure is under the age of 18, meaning they're children.
Yeah, and despite being host to so many people fleeing conflict and abuse, Malaysia has long lacked an effective legal framework to legitimise the position of refugees. Our laws also do not distinguish between refugees, asylum seekers and undocumented migrants, nor are we a signatory to the 1951 Refugee Convention or its 1967 Protocol.
Now, this has given rise to massive exploitation of refugees that come to our country for safety. So without the right to work and inability to send their children to school, refugees in Malaysia are vulnerable to arrest by the authorities and exploitation by employers. So how can the situation be improved, and why is it important for Malaysia to recognise the rights of refugees residing in our country?
For perspective on this issue, we speak to Dr. Hartini Zainuddin, founder of Yayasan Chowkit. Good morning, Dr. Hartini. Like we said just a few seconds ago, current laws do not distinguish between refugees, asylum seekers and undocumented migrants. Why is it so important to distinguish between the three?
Well, making these distinctions is, I think, very critical, because refugees are people who are entitled to international protection because their own countries can't protect them and they have to flee. Seeking asylum is a human right that should be protected for everyone. And we cannot continue to define refugees and asylum seekers as undocumented migrants. That's different. So they deserve protection. Not that nobody deserves protection, but they deserve extra protection, whether we've signed the 1951 Refugee Convention or not.
Tini, I'd like to get your thoughts on the tussle between the government and the UNHCR regarding refugee cards. So a few weeks ago, the Home Minister, Datuk Sri Hamzah Zainuddin, accused the UNHCR of issuing refugee cards arbitrarily. The UNHCR has responded by saying that they issue these cards only to those applicants who meet the strict criteria that determine the status of refugees. Maybe talk us through this issue and the significance of holding a UNHCR refugee card, and what you think is going on here?
Well, I think it's at best misinformation, at worst a complete lie. The UNHCR does not make one a refugee, right? It's war that makes one a refugee, but it recognizes one's status as a refugee, UNHCR that is. Being a refugee depends on the situation that the individual is facing in their country of origin. So they may face fear of persecution due to war, or in non-conflict countries, you know, certain groups of people may face discrimination based on their religion or, you know, ethnic background and other identities of affiliation. So UNHCR has such strict procedures to determine refugee status. So they claim that the cards are being given out arbitrarily. It's a serious one. I'm not saying it doesn't happen in terms of, you know, fake cards being produced, but it's not UNHCR. And accusing UNHCR of doing so, of giving out arbitrarily, it's a serious accusation, as it calls into question international law that recognizes who refugees are. Yeah, that's all UNHCR is doing, following international law.
Now, let's talk about the rights of refugee children in this country. How much access do they get to facilities like healthcare and education? What's your assessment of how the government treats these children?
Okay, in terms of healthcare, if you're a registered refugee, that means you're recognised as being one under definitions that UNHCR has, you can get up to a 50% discount in terms of medical cost. But if you can't work, and you have no place to live, and you have no shelter, you can't even pay the 50%. That's with health access. With education, NGOs such as Yayasan Chowkit, or, you know, others, there's so many good ones, Dignity, Buku Jalana, and Aros Academy, etc. We provide some kind of alternative education for primary and secondary school education, but that's it, yeah? What do you do after that? You tell a child to dream to being an astronaut without giving them a path to being an astronaut. You know, and we know for a fact that children have given the right love and support. We're talking about basic education, not taking away from anyone, can shine. So I just don't understand this sort of idiotic approach and policies to wanting to deny a certain group of people access to health or education.
Can I ask you about the right to work? So both the Pakatan Harapan government and Tan Sri Muhyiddin's government had pledged to look into granting refugees the right to work here.
Yeah.
But this hasn't been implemented as far as I understand. Where do you think this proposed policy sits now?
Okay. I think, you know, many in the government under Pakatan Harapan actually agreed with the proposal to grant work rights. Even I think Tan Sri Muhyiddin was coming around to refugees. But then there's still resistance from some agencies within a certain ministry because of fear of opening the floodgates, which, you know, everybody knows opening the floodgates is a myth. It's never happened. The reality is that we need workers right now, right? You go to a restaurant, you can't find waiters. You can't find people in the hospitality service. And it just makes common sense while they're here that we benefit immensely if we allow refugees to work. You know, you look at the report from IDEAS. I mean, the actions don't match what they're saying. Refugees are working informally anyway, but then arrested at workplace for working, then fining the owners, but you have no workers. And then you claim that there's a policy to implement right to work, but no details. And then the Ministry of Human Resource, which is supposed to lead this, recently mentioned in an interview that he doesn't think it's a stupid idea to regularize refugees as illegal workers for workspace because they work. And it fills a gap. And we just need to be more transparent about granting refugee work rights and should consult with NGOs and refugee communities. We're not the enemies, yeah? Everybody keeps thinking that just because we oppose or we disagree with certain policies doesn't make us the enemy. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to make sure we get the best possible, optimal work situation settled and be compassionate at the same time.
So clearly there are gaps, be it whether it's the right to work or even in the children's access to education and healthcare.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, what can we do without overhauling the present refugee laws or actually, honestly, the lack thereof to actually provide this adequate protection for them?
Well, I think there's so many things we do. Just allow refugees basic rights. And basic rights is the right to live, yeah? The right to live in harmony without being a fear of a detention. I mean, how are we in this day and age still talking about solutions for refugees without a single refugee being asked what they want or what is needed? Has the government gone down and spoken to and policymakers, have they gone down and spoken to and engaged with refugees? I mean, this isn't a battle about a nation's right to sovereignty and the laws of the land, yeah? So I don't understand why I can't compassion and humanity complement intelligent, smart policies that allow access, basic access, not extra, to refugees and ensure that you strengthen national security and allow people to invest in this country through education and work rights, right? The enemy isn't outside. The enemy, as we noticed in the last 2.5 years, was inside. It was the pandemic. It was the hell. Then you denied certain groups, you know, the right to get vaccinated. Then you made them delay. Then you don't allow the kids to go to school. And then you say, oh, it's national security. You know, they're at the floodgates. You know, they're all coming in and they're going to take over this country. It is such a myth. It is such a myth. For any model to be successful, it has to include the right to stay or some legal status so that refugees can take care of themselves, so that we don't have to keep doing this. We should ask them what they need, which should not be limited to certain sectors, but rather legalizing refugees in sectors that they're already in, right?
Okay.
We should not be limited to certain groups of refugees also.
Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Hartini Zainuddin, founder of Yayasan Chowkit, bringing out some very valid points on today, which is the World Refugee Day. Now, I think it's fair to say that I'm 110% sure, but I wonder whether our policymakers really, like what she suggests, go down to the ground to speak to the refugees in terms of what they really need, and whether, you know, how we can adjust our government policy to ensure that they feel safe, right? That they're not being exploited, whether it's the children or adults.
I do feel like there is this perception that, oh, because they're refugees, they just need to take whatever it is that we give them. And that is completely wrong. I wholeheartedly agree with what Hartini says in that there needs to be engagement and consultation in order to provide the rights that refugees need the most. And it's not a matter of them just accepting whatever it is that the government largesse wants to give them. That's really not how it works. That's not how refugee rights are meant to be protected.
Yeah. And, you know, we've had different governments saying that they will make a change, but so far nothing has been done. And even initiatives like how to grant refugees the right to work. I'm not sure how complicated the process is, but why is there stalemate until today? And even from an economic perspective, Ideas came out with a report saying that if refugees would be allowed to work, they could contribute as much as 3 billion Malaysian ringgit to the economy, you know, in terms of jobs and also through higher spending. So I think these are the things that we should be considering. But Amdix will discuss ways to improve public transport usage in the Klang Valley. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.